I'm Jacques wearing the suit is because it's preaching. And to some extent, that is true, because I tell people there's only three reasons why I wear a suit: wedding, funeral, and preaching. And it's either one or the other. So you pray for us, because this coming up weekend, we'll be in Mexico in a mission trip there. So we see what the Lord has. There's some great plan for us to do things over there. So we're hoping that the Lord actually use us while we're in Mexico. So unfortunately, we will not be here for the Faith Promise mission, because we'll be out of the country, and we'll be back the following Sunday. So you pray for us in that. It is always a privilege whenever we get a chance to preach, because I always find it is a joy, really, to open the Word of God with you and study and some of the most fascinating lessons that we have learned in the Word of God. So with that tonight, I have you open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, 5 verses. And I'm going to give you, based on what Jesus has taught us in this passage, the three barriers or the three reasons why people choose not to follow in Christ. There is a reason. Some people say there are hundreds and thousands of reasons, but as we study this tonight, as we kind of try to break it down as much as we could with the time that we have, we're going to try to put all of this together. So whatever situation that you find yourself in, whenever you witness to somebody, ask yourself whether they find themselves in those three categories of people that Jesus is going to describe to us as to the reason why they choose not to follow in the gospel. And one other thing I want to make point also, as you read this text here in Luke chapter 9, not only the statement that Jesus made regarding those three people apply to his generation, but it applies to all generations from the 4th century even to the 21st century as we're reading it today. Very, very important chapter in the book of Luke. And of course, Luke includes this passage as we're reading about it. The chapter 9 in the book of Luke is a very, very fascinating chapter. For example, in chapter 9, verses 1 to 11, Jesus sent the disciple by giving them power so they can go out and witness for him. In verses 12 to 17, the Bible talked about Jesus fed the 5,000 people and the power that he explored on that. Verses 18 to 22, Peter's great confession that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, nobody can reveal these things to you unless my Father, which is in heaven, reveal that to you. In verses 23 to 27, Jesus challenges disciples to take up their cross and follow him, because there's a certain things that you and I must do. There is a sacrifice that comes when it comes to be a believer in Jesus Christ. 28 to 36, Jesus transfigured in front of his disciple, in essence showing that he was God manifested in the flesh. And 37 to 43, a demon-possessed boy was healed to the power of God. And 44 to 45, Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. 46 to 50, Jesus taught his disciple a lesson on humility. 51 to 56, Jesus taught a lesson on mercy. And then we come to verse 57 to 62, where he explained to them the three barriers that stop people from actually coming to Christ. So I just give you a broad outline of what was going on at the time. Now let's get to the verse and see what Jesus says in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man says unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goes. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this is a very fascinating point. As they were walking about in the neighborhood, and Luke put that story near Capernaum, where Jesus was talking about the story, a man came to him. In fact, Matthew chapter 8 described that man as a scribe. The man who came to Jesus and says to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Matthew said he was a scribe. The question is who were the scribes? Well, the scribes, according to research, were highly esteemed experts in the Mosaic law. They know the law. They study the law. They understand the law. They were highly esteemed. They were expert on the law. They were some of the people who actually taught people the Mosaic law, backwards and forward. But one of the things about the scribe also, the Bible says they were very hostile toward Jesus Christ. They absolutely hated Christ. In fact, if you read the Bible in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 15, Matthew 20, all throughout Matthew, Matthew says the scribe were absolutely hostile toward Christ. And so it was very surprising when you're looking at this text in 57 and 58 that a scribe came to him and says, I will follow you wheresoever you go. How is that possible in a generation, in a time where the scribe were hostile to Jesus Christ, and yet you have one of them who says to him, I will follow you wherever you go? This scribe acknowledged Jesus as a rabbi, because to follow Jesus Christ, you must imply, you must believe that he was a rabbi. He wanted to join the disciple. He wanted to follow Jesus Christ anywhere, everywhere. He did not wait for Jesus Christ to call him, because after all, Jesus Christ called all the disciples. He willfully offered himself as a willing, obedient servant, says, I will follow Christ. No doubt this scribe was self-confident, excessively eager. But one thing that he did not understand, he was unmindful of the cost, what it takes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He did not know the meaning of what he was saying. He was willing to follow Jesus Christ, but as far as the price that he was to be paid, he did not understand that. And you will see that answer is as we begin to develop the topic here. He did not understand that at all. And after all, when it comes to us, and you can apply this, he came to Jesus, he says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Isn't that what Jesus came for? He came to call people out of sin, to be a follower of him. And here is a man who came to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. Revelation chapter 14 says, they will follow the Lamb wherever he goes, to fire, to water, to death. Everybody will follow the Lamb that is a believer. And here is a scribe who came and says, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus did not, as we used to do in the gospel. If somebody were to come to church tonight and says, I want to become a believer. I want to be saved. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The first thing that we will do, we'll just say, okay, here's the sinner's prayer. Here's what you ought to do. You ought to repent of your sin and confess Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. And here's a man who came to Jesus, and Jesus did not say, oh, you got to repent of your sin. You got to accept me as the Savior. But yet, how did he answer him? Fox have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, what kind of an answer is that? If somebody were to come in, and just like I illustrated before, I mentioned before, and that says, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and Pastor Barry look at him and says, foxes have holes, and birds in the air have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. How is that going to help somebody? What kind of a gospel message is that? But that's what Jesus did. Because this man was so enthusiastic about following Jesus Christ. He must have saw all, after all, he was a scribe. He was hostile to the teaching of Jesus. He saw all the miracle. That's why I gave you the outline in chapter 9. He saw the miracle that Jesus have done about feeding the 5,000 and resurrected a boy and healing a boy, a demonic boy. He saw all of that, and he wanted to do that, not because he genuinely wants to follow Jesus Christ, because he wants to follow Jesus Christ for the comfort that Jesus Christ was offered. That's why Jesus Christ looked at him and says, hey, listen, you want to follow me? Do you understand what it means? The birds in the air have some place to lay their head. The foxes have a place to rest. But as for me, I have nowhere to lay my head. In other words, if you come into following me as a way of comfort, you're not going to have that. That's why we have a problem in our gospel message today. We have a lot of people who are preaching. The prosperity gospel burns me. Burns me. Because what it does is it's teaching the people to respond to an experimental fashion. God will give you a brand new house. God will give you a brand new car. God will give you a brand new husband, as if husband is new. God will prosperity. You have all this. God will heal you of all your disease. All you got to do is respond to him. And you know what people do? They responded to that kind of a gospel as an experimental fashion to see whether the claim that you're making is true. And when they realize that, okay, hey, listen, I respond to that gospel, but I'm still sick. I'm still broke. I still don't have anything. Guess what happened? They run away from the gospel. Because you tell them a gospel that was really not supported biblically. The Bible says in the First Timothy says, all those that will live for Christ shall what? Suffer persecution. If you and I, the only reason we respond to the gospel is for comfort, we are in the wrong gospel. This scribe came to Jesus and says, I want to follow you, because the only reason he wanted to follow Christ, his heart was not in the right place for comfort. And Jesus, as Jesus always done, he knows the heart. He get onto the surface of the situation. He says, you want to follow me? There's no comfort. There's no comfort. You might have to suffer a little persecution. You might have to suffer a little bit of trials. You might have to go through some headaches. Did the man end up following him? The Bible didn't say anything about him. It says, okay, I will follow you to those conditions. None. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and expect all of a sudden everything's to work out on your behalf. Most of the time, the Christian people are some of the most suffered people in the world. We came to Christ not for comfort. Jesus did not save us for comfort in this world. We are saved from what? We are saved from the wrath to come, from damnation. We did not save from comfort. Now, does God give us comfort? Yeah, of course. The Bible teaches that. God is a God of comfort. But that doesn't mean when you get saved, all your problems will be solved. Jesus says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But be an overcomer, because why? I have overcome the world. There is trials, there is temptation, there is difficulty. This man wants to follow Christ, and the first barrier for most people who come to Jesus Christ right now with the prosperity gospel, with any other gospel, is for comfort. Oh, I'm sick right now. Or some people, they never in church in the first place. They never come to church. God is so far from them, but the moment difficulty comes, the moment a family member is sick or cancer, or brokenness, or whatever the case may be, all of a sudden, God become the most important person in their life. But before, while everything was going fine, God was far away from them. They come to God only for the comfort that God can give. And this scribe in verses 57 and 58, that's the only reason why he wants to follow Christ. I want to follow you wherever you go. The reason is because I want comfort. Hey, if you can feed the 5,000, you certainly can take care of me. If you can heal, if demonic boy was possessed, you certainly can heal me of my disease. So all I got to do is come close to you, become one of your followers, because if you can do that for them, me as your followers, you must be able to do that for me. And Jesus looked at him and says, foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. There's no comfort. Isn't it fascinating that the creator of the universe provided holes for the fox and nests for the bird, and yet his own substance, he will struggle to even that. Think about that. While they have a place to rest, me as the Son of God, I have no place to lay my head. And yet this man come in and says, I want to follow you. What is one of the reasons the barrier that stopped people from coming to Christ is they wanted to have comfort. And when the comfort is gone, they gone with it. It's almost like the parable of the sower. When they heard the gospel, when the person preached the gospel, they heard the gospel and they're so excited about it. They're so enthused about it. And yet they have no ground. They have no roots. And when the sun came up, they die out. What the sun is? The sun is persecution. The sun is trial. The sun exposes you to who you are. We as believers, when we come to Christ, we didn't come for the comfort. We come from the wrath to save, from the wrath to come. So when persecution comes to the church, we're not even worried about it, because that's not, this world is not our home. We're not comfortable here, because why? We didn't save the comfort. We save from the wrath to come. We didn't follow Christ because of what he can give to us. We follow Christ because he wanted to save us from our sin, and so we can have an eternal, absolutely eternal unity with him in heaven. But this man says, I want to follow you wherever you go. And after all, he was a scribe. And Jesus says, no. Birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Now, I'm saying as a believer that you are not to preach the gospel, the essential gospel, that you must be born again, you must repent, you must confess. Of course, those are the essential doctrine of the Bible. But if people are going to respond to the gospel message for comfort, for the thing that the church can give to them, for what God can give to them instead of an actual humble and brokenness of the heart, then we are not to do it. Foxes have holes. Do you know what it means to follow in Christ? Jesus was telling this man. It means you have to forsake all the comfort and convenience of life. Forsaking them. I do not have a home to call my home, Jesus says. This earth afford me no rest. Foxes and birds have more in the way of natural comfort and security than I do. Are you still willing to follow me even through that? And the man didn't respond to that. And as well as many people today, if you're telling them, hey, listen, becoming a Christian, it's a struggle. Becoming a Christian, you might have to go through some serious time, sometimes death in a home, sometimes sickness, sometimes cancer, sometimes brokenness. I don't want nothing to do with that. They don't want to follow God, a God who cannot give them everything that they want. The Bible says God will supply all I need. He never says God will supply all I want. Amen. And there is a difference between a need and a want. God will supply the necessary tool. And for us, it might be only food and remnant. That's all it is. It might be the food that you have on the table and the clothes that you wear. And that's all you can afford. That's all you can. Those of you that went on a mission trip to Jamaica or have been to mission trip to Haiti, you know some of those people have absolutely nothing. Nothing. And yet they're still in the church almost every day. Why? Because Christ is not a Christ who's just going to give you comfort for this world. God's goal is to protect you in this world, but the final plan is for you to be in heaven with him. So you might have to go through some struggle. Look at the life of the disciple. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was thrust through. They went through something. They didn't have the comfort that they need. Are you willing to follow Christ even though he's not going to provide sometimes the things that you think you want and it's really not? What's the first barrier from people from following Christ? Comfort. Comfort. Described like the desperation from the fear of judgment. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was giving the beatitude. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall have God. He didn't have that. He didn't have the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. All he wants is for his physical comfort to be meet. And Jesus says, I didn't have that. The first barrier of stopping people from coming to Christ is personal comfort. Hey, I'm not comfortable. I'm not getting what I want. I send this little prayer cloth and nothing happened. So therefore, I don't need to be in church anymore. I was struggling with that sickness and I asked God, if he can heal me, I will serve him all my life. And he still didn't, so I don't want nothing to do with God. And it's the case. People dare God, and if God do some great miracle, they will follow God. Then you're living by sight, not by faith. And Jesus says, no. So that's the first barrier. People refuse to come to Christ because of personal comfort. Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man have no leg to lay his head. Now there's another second part to it. In verse 59, you see the second person. So the first person willfully come, volunteer, says, hey, listen, I will follow you wherever you go. All you got to do is accept me as one of your disciples. Jesus says, no, wait a minute. Think about this. Now, the second person, God's call. Jesus called himself. Watch this. In verse 59. And he said unto another, apparently that person must have been right there when Jesus Christ was talking to the scribe. Because right then and there, Jesus says to another, follow me. Now, what an honor. What an honor that the creator of the universe decided to call you and say, follow me. Here's one man, he says, hey, I want to follow you. He says, now, wait a minute, you got to think about this one. And then he turned right to another and says, follow me. What a thought that God called you to follow him. What an honor. But there was a problem there. But he said, the man says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, that is a legitimate reason, would it not? I just want to go bury my father. I will follow you. Let me just go first bury him. But there is a problem there that perhaps unless you do a little bit of background, you will know. In the Jewish culture, it was the responsibility of the son to bury the father. And if the father is not dead yet, the son still have that responsibility. So when the young man look at Jesus and says, let me first go bury my father, his father wasn't dead yet. What he was waiting for, his father was very rich and have plenty of inheritance. He wanted to wait first and get his own inheritance. And after he get all he can get, he says, now I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what he wants. You says, how do you know that? How do you know his father wasn't dead yet? Because also in the Jewish culture, the Jewish were very immediate about burying their people. You dead today, you get buried today. That's the way it was in the Jewish culture. How do you know that? Look at the story of Lazarus. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. They're dead right then and there. They take them and bury them. It's not like us today who just wasting money. For 7 days, we got to have the burial. We got to have the viewing. No. The Jewish didn't waste their time doing that. You dead, you gone. Because you cost me money. You gone. That's the way it was. So when the young man says, hey, listen, I got to go bury my father, his father wasn't dead. He was just waiting. So if the father was still alive for 30 years, he would have been waiting. So he can get part of the portion of his inheritance. And after I get everything that I can get, so now I can go follow Jesus. So what's the reason people refuse to follow Jesus? Not only for personal comfort, personal gain. Personal gain. What can I get out of this? Personal gain. I want to do this first. I want to do this first. People say, hey, listen, I want to follow Jesus Christ, but I got to get married first. I got to have 3 kids. I got to finish college first. I got to get old. I got to enjoy all my life on earth. And when I'm old and in my 90s and I'm rocking like this, or when I'm in my deathbed, then I give God the rest. So I got to enjoy all my needs, all the things that I can get first. And you notice what he says, Lord, suffer me first. When Matthew says, the Matthew chapter 6 says, seek ye what? First what? Me first? No. The kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. Man says to Jesus, no, suffer me first. I want to do this first. When his father wasn't even dead. Personal inheritance. Stop people from coming to Christ. And it's the same thing today. People says, I want to do this first. I want to watch the Monday night football game first before I read my Bible. And perhaps when I'm dozing off, then I try to flip the pages. I want to do this first and then I go into prayer. We substitute things for Christ. We put things first in the place of God. And Jesus looking at this man and says, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, the spiritual, if you're spiritually dead, let the physical dead bury the physical dead, but the spiritual done, you go and preach the kingdom of God. He called him. He refused, and Jesus make another plea. Let the dead bury the dead. And we today, we're doing the same thing, aren't we? We today are doing the same thing. We don't come to Christ. People today don't come to Christ because not only they want the comfort level, but they want to gain everything that they can first. Personal comfort, personal riches. I want to get rich first. And then I will follow Christ. You want to know something? You can have all the money in the world and you still may not follow Christ. Luke 19 tells us there was a rich man that was rich. He'd never follow Christ. Riches doesn't make you a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's quite contrary. Sometimes riches is probably the one reason that people are not following Christ. Because you believe that money can satisfy all your needs, so who needs God when you can afford everything yourself? That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So this man looking at Jesus Christ says, follow me. And he says, no, I got to get my inheritance first. So the calling of personal riches is higher than the calling of God who calls sinner to repentance. Think about that. A lot of people don't want to get involved in the ministry as well. That's because they say, hey, listen, if I become in the ministry, I'm going to be poor. Matter of fact, I was looking at it this Wednesday, preacher. I was sitting right next to Cheryl. Isn't it right? And we were going over the financial business meeting. And then I look at the financial and I says to Cheryl, she was right there. I says, that money pastor is making, is that every month or every 2 weeks? And she says, every month. I said, see, that's the reason why I don't want to become a pastor. No. Mm-mm. Woo! No way I'm coming a pastor out of that. Isn't that right, Cheryl? You were right there when I said that. So that's why I'm not calling to be a pastor. Sometimes we run away from our responsibility because of riches. And God says to this young man, let the dead bury the dead. Hey, listen, the lost people can bury their own people. You, and as a spiritual person, go and witness for Christ. Now, Jesus was not saying for you not to go to funeral, not to respect your elders. That's not what he, not to respect your parents. That's not what he was teaching. He was teaching, in essence, sometimes don't substitute spiritual things for material things. But they did that. What a thought. This man was almost like the message of the seed who fell on the thorn and the whistles. You know, the cares of this life. When the messenger, about the parable of the sower, that message fell on good soil, Jesus calling him, but the cares of this life just shook the thing out of him. I got to get myself together first. I got to get myself together first. And God says no. So you have personal comfort prevent people from coming to Christ. And now you have personal riches prevent people from coming to Christ. And that's the same thing that's going on today, y'all. The three barriers is personal comfort, personal riches. Jesus says, come unto me, follow me. And people says, no. Look at the third person. And another also said, so now you got another one who is willing to follow. So the first one says, I will follow you. Jesus says, hey, there's no comfort where I'm going. Okay, if you want to join me in these things, you're not going to have any comfortable things. Sometimes you're going to go through some trials in life. He says, that's not for me. He went away. The second one, Jesus called. Say, listen, follow me. He says, no, I have an excuse to. I can't do it. I got to do something first. And now you have a third person. He says, I'll follow thee. So he volunteered himself. Oh, the first guy didn't want to follow you? Okay. The second guy have an excuse? Okay, I will follow you. I will. Then follow him. But, by the way, the moment you said the word, I will do this, but it negates what you just said. I will clean the church, but, okay, then don't need to say anything else. You might as well go home. Because the but cancel what you says just said in the beginning. But, let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. I will follow you. All you got to do is let me go say goodbye to the people at home. Let me go tell my mom, hey, listen, I'm going. After all, in the book of Judges, in the book of 1 Kings, when Elijah called Elisha, Elisha said the same thing. Hey, listen, all I got to do is let me go first bid my parents goodbye. Let me go first bid my people goodbye. And he was allowed to do that. And yet this man came to Jesus and says, hey, listen, I will follow you. Just give me a chance to say my goodbye. That sounds reasonable, isn't it? But Jesus looking at him and says this, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What does he mean by that? Jesus understood something that you and I perhaps didn't understand. By allowing the man to go back home and bid his friend goodbye, he may never come back and follow him. Discouragement in the home might say, you're going to follow him? This thing's going to happen to you. That's going to happen to you. You might be broke. You might have nothing. The trial in this life going to get to you. He probably going to be crucified because after all, he was hated by the scribes and the Pharisees was constantly after him. And you're going to follow him? Jesus knew discouragement in the home could prevent the man from coming back and following him. And isn't that the case? Look at the Muslim faith. Try to witness to a Muslim and they're convicted. And that happened to me in college, even now. When they got convicted, you know the first reaction they got? What is my parents going to think about this? I'm afraid of what my mom and dad will say about this. The care of the home will choke the message out of them. And Jesus knew if he says, okay, you can go back and we bid your parents goodbye. He knew there was a possibility. This he knows the person's heart. He knows everything before it happened. He knew that that guy will probably never come back and follow him again. Because discouragement in a friendship, discouragement in the home will tell them to do otherwise. After all, when you're looking at the life of Jesus Christ, the things that he went through, who will genuinely wants to follow him out of all the things that he went through, except for the disciples and others? They know. And Jesus looking at him and says, no man. In other words, if you put your hands into the work of God and you try to look back, if you dedicated yourself, if you committed to following Christ and you look back, you're not fit. The word fit means you're not ready to be used in the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. It basically means you're not ready to be used in the kingdom of God. You can't look back. That's why we have the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Look what happened to Lot's wife. Primary example. When the angels tell them to leave, don't ever look back. And the Bible says she couldn't believe God was going to do that to Sodom. I wonder why. Is it possible that she got so many things in Sodom and riches and she says, I'm going to leave all that behind? I got to see this. And she turned back. And what did the Bible say? She turned into a pillar of salt. And God knew as we become a Christian, we are not to look back. Because the moment you look back, you're drawing back. And if you're drawing back, the more you fall away from God. Personal relation is one of the reasons people stop from following Christ. And today we have friends, we have social media, we have all these people. If we were to stand up for Christ and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, homosexuality is wrong, abortion is wrong, fornication is wrong, oh, get ready to be absolutely have your computer blown up by messages. So people, instead of doing that, they stay away from it. They say, I don't want to follow. Because what? Personal relation. I'm going to lose my friendship. And we forgot sometimes the Bible says to be friendship with the world, the book of James says, is to be enmity with God. If you try to be friend with the world, guess what you said to God? I'm your enemy. Because the world always going contrary to what the Bible is telling us to do. So when we're looking at the reason why people don't come to Christ, comfort. I want to be comfortable. I want to be in a church where there is absolutely nice pew you can sit in. In the Caribbean, we don't have pew. I mean, we got chairs like that in the Caribbean. It's heaven. We got hard wood. Sometimes we're sitting on the floor. There's no comfort. And people still serving Christ. But today we want to come into the church where we have a coffee in the back. You know, we got Gatorade. There are churches doing that. They got Gatorade in the back, everything that you need, you know, coming in with, you know, gin ripped up all the way. And, you know, you come as you are because you got to be comfortable. The gospel is uncomfortable. The gospel is uncomfortable. We want comfort in the gospel. We want all our wants met. And Jesus says that's not how it works. You might have to go through some trials. You might have to go through some tribulation. Look at how it works. And the second person says, hey, I will follow you. Hey, follow me. He says, no, I got to get my riches first. So one says, I want to be comfortable. The other says, I want to get my money first. It's me first. Me first. You can't say no, Lord, and mean both of them. D. James Kennedy, he's dead now. One of the pastor was, he was a pastor of one of the largest churches in Fort Lauderdale. He made a statement that is absolutely true. He says, you cannot say no, Lord, and mean both. Because you annul one another. If you says no to the Lord, that means he's not your Lord at all. No, Lord, that means if you said no to him, he's not your Lord. And it's true. The guy says, no, Lord, I want to get my inheritance first. And Jesus says, no, you let the dead bury the dead. You go preach the kingdom. And the third one says, hey, listen, all I got to do is go bid my parents with well. Jesus says, no, because they're going to discourage you. They are going to discourage you. And today we have friends that's discouraging us. We have family members that's discouraging us. We have all kinds of obstacles that is on our way instead of following Jesus Christ. It might not be a family member. It might be football. It might be things that is maybe not sinful, but that prevent you from following what God wants you to do. And so you're looking at everything that's going on in the world. There's pretty much three barriers: personal comfort, personal riches, and personal relationship. Those are the three things that stop people from coming to Christ. So as you witness out there, knowing that the battle is not easy, because you are fighting against not only against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but you are fighting against people who wants, the barrier is right in front of them. The comfort level, the riches level, the friendship level, it's all there. So I pray that tonight as you witness, you keep those things in mind, that there are some barriers that stop people from coming to Christ. And before you even witness to somebody, you get yourself into prayer, because the barrier is there. The devil is there to prevent the barrier. But you just have to let God do what he needs to do. So I pray tonight as you witnessing, and I just want to make sure that I said that those people who refuse to follow Christ have three reasons. Three reasons: comfort, riches, and friendship. Is that you? Is that you? Because some people will only come to church when situation gets bad. Pastor only get a phone call when situation is bad. I want the whole church to pray for me. Where were you before? Have you been praying before? We wait until tragedy struck and the whole nation says, oh, prayer for the people in Texas. Prayer for the people in Florida. Prayer for the people in Puerto Rico. And as soon as things change around, we get as worse as we can possibly can. The world is. Forget God. In fact, they even question God. But when another tragedy struck, like Las Vegas, oh, our prayer is for Las Vegas. And I'm not against that. And don't get me wrong. What I'm saying, you don't wait until tragedy struck for you to get close to God. Because now you try to use God for your own personal comfort. God is not a genie in a bottle that you can manipulate with your own whim and says, okay, I'm in trouble now. Get me out of this. I'm going to become a Christian now. If you save me now, he might not save you. You don't know. Some of us have become a stranger to God because we want our own personal comfort. We want our own personal riches. We're waiting until we care about what other people are saying to us instead of what God says. So as a result, we're not praying. We're not studying the Bible. We're not following God the way we're supposed to. And when we get a disaster happen in our own family, we says, okay, now I'm going to go to the Lord. And God says, you become a stranger unto me. I haven't heard from you for so long. I pray tonight that you're not one of those people who only follow in Christ for what you can get out of them, but what basically God has done for you in your spiritual walk. In Jeremiah chapter 2, and I'm done. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verses 9 all the way to 32, God gave us a bunch of description about what people have forgotten him. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, he says, can a woman forget her child? Can a woman forget her child? But he says, my people have forgotten me days without numbers. In other words, we got so comfortable in ourselves that we don't seek God as we are to. We don't follow God as we are to. We don't do things God, the way God wants us to do. So we got so comfortable. We're so far from God. God says, my people have forgotten me days without numbers. I can't even remember the last time they turned to me for something. Because sometimes when things are going good, you know it. You and I forget God when things are going good. I never forget the Proverbs that says, give me enough so that I may live for you, that I may not forget you, but don't give me too much where I'm absolutely forget you. Would you follow of Jesus Christ instead of letting this barrier come into place? Personal comfort, personal riches, personal relationship. Let's pray. Lord, we come together tonight, and as we briefly touch on the surface of why people choose not to follow in you, and you gave us the example as you had taught the disciple what to expect. Many of us are looking for comfort. Comfort naturally, comfort whatever the case may be. And yet sometimes when you even provide a comfort, we forget about that you don't want to provide a comfort, and we forget about you totally at all. And I pray tonight, Father, for those that are here tonight, if there is any that is looking for personal comfort instead of the tribulation that might come our way, you says you're God of comfort. You will give us comfort, and you will give us comfort in time of need. And sometimes we might have to go to something in order to, for your glory to be manifested for the world. But if there's anyone who's looking for personal comfort and riches and what others may say about them instead of really following you, may tonight, Father, they rededicated their life over and says, I will follow you for who you are, for what you have done for us, from saving us from sin and death and hell, and more importantly, from eternal separation from you. That's the reason why you came. You came to save us from sin, not to give us comfort. And perhaps sometimes we have our priority messed up to thinking that you will provide for everything that we want, when you actually only will provide for whatever we need at the moment that we need it the most. And I pray tonight, Father, as we as believers, we going out there and evangelize and witness to others and preach and teach, may we not learn to forget that they have barriers. Those barriers are forever there. And may we learn to take the word of God and break those barriers down and teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And like Paul says in the book of Corinthians, that he comes and he determined not to know anything among them but Jesus Christ and him crucified. May you teach us your way as we witness for you in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand if you would. Page 487, Room at the Cross. What a great message we've heard tonight. I would hope and pray that we'll understand and know that there are those barriers there. Those same barriers that keep people from coming to know Christ are the same barriers, by the way, to keep us from serving. Where we stand for Jesus Christ tonight. Let's sing.
There's room at the cross for you. It's great.